really quickly. In short, okay. So basically, basically the end of last year, we basically, I guess I saw this conflicting evidence within the Gemara in terms of whether the koveya for Shi'urim here and elsewhere is the halakha Moshe Sinai midaraisor, or whether it's the chachamim. So we're going to see that there are basically two different approaches within the Mefarshim in terms of how do you resolve this stira, this conflicting evidence. And the first basic approach is to say that there's a combination, right? There's a combination between the halakha Moshe Sinai and the Rabbanan. And right, in contrast, we'll see to the second approach, which says there's a machlokes here. Right? According to some, it's purely halacha Moshe Sinai, and according to other shitos, it's the chachamim. According to this first approach, it's really a combination. And in line with what Tommy was saying, it's the variety of masrana kasaf lechachamim, where the Torah presents a halacha, but then allows the chachamim to define the exact parameters of the halacha. So let's just see the Mefarshim who accept this first approach. Again, it's the combination of halacha Moshe Sinai and the Chachamim. So the only Rishon, to my knowledge, who seems to take a stand on this issue is the Ritva. Again, not explicitly, but implicitly, when the Ritva on in Ayin Gimel Amud Beis, Dibur Maskal HaOchel, when he's commenting on the Mishnah and he's discussing the Mishnah, the Shir of Kosev Sagasa, comes to Inu Shel Achila. In passing, he basically puts together both the halacha Moshe Sinai and the chachamim. Again, doesn't tell you how that combination works, but again, seems to be saying right after saying, the chachamim define, the gedder of kosev hasagasa. He says, and by the way, the ikar milsa of the shir came from the halacha Moshe Sinai. So again, he seems to not think that the halacha Moshe Sinai and the chachamim are two different shitos, but rather seems to think that they're one shita, and somehow there's a combination between the halacha Moshe Sinai and the chachamim. So just read the lashon inside. There's the ritva again, Ayin Gimel Amud Beis, Dibur Maskal HaOchel. He says HaOchel Kosev Sagasa. Again, that's the quote from the Mishnah. Spirish the Afagav to Kol Shi'uri Achila Shel Torah B'Gezayis. Right, even though generally the gedder, the shir for Maisa Achila is Gezayis, but mitoch sheshina akasav b'mashmao da'afke b'loshon inoy shanu chachamim b'shi'uro k'di'isa b'gemar. So he's quoting the Braisa on Ayin Tesson Beis to pay, the Braisa of Rebbe, who says that the chachamim came along and were koveya the shir as kosev as agasa based on the loshon of the pasuk. But right after quoting this loshon of the chachamim, he says, the Ritva adds, the ikra de milsa de shi'urin. You should know that the ikar milsa of shirim, whatever exactly that means, halacha l'moshe Sinai. So right after quoting this brisa, which invokes the chachamim, he says, by the way, you should know that the foundation, the ikar milsa of shirim, comes from the halacha l'moshe Sinai. So again, he seems to be accepting this first approach that somehow the shirim in general are a combination between the halacha l'moshe Sinai and the chachamim. But the Ritva doesn't exactly tell us what exactly the nature of this combination is. So that takes us to later Achronim, who give different variations on the exact breakdown between the halacha Moshe Sinai and the Chachamim. So the first example of this is the Maariz Chiyus. Right, if you saw this, Maariz Chiyus was quoted on Pei Amud Aleph in the Yalkut, the Farshim HaChadash, at least in those rather. Is he in the other Gemaras also? Anybody know?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So I don't want to discriminate, so that's good. So the Maariz Chiyus says, how does Maariz Chiyus present the breakdown? Anyone want to? Yeah.
The Torah just gave the Chacham a bunch of shiur, and the Chacham had to match the shiur, exactly. Shiur to the right.
It's like a test, you have the test, you have to column A and column B, you have to match. So basically, that's the setup. Basically, the Torah presents a number of different shiurim, Kizayas, Gris, Kosevas, Krogeras, Kibetza, all the different shiurim, and it's up to the Chachamim. I think the Maariz Chiyus used the lashon. Right, Tommy, you see that? I think he used the lashon because of the Chachamim. I think he uses that lashon that the Torah, after giving this list of the Chachamim, says, "Okay, take over now. Use your svar, use the midos, the Torah, and the Joshua's band to try to figure out, which shiur matches to which halacha, and therefore, exactly. So that's where you have the lashon of, the Rabbanan, let's say in this context, the Rabbanan based on Misvara, based on the factor of Yisuvei Daita, said, it makes sense to match the shir of Kosev Hasagasa to the Inui Shel Achila for Yom Kippur, based on that source. So again, that's Maariz Chiyus saying, the way, again, he's explicitly trying, I think in the beginning he references the fact that it seems to be a stira within the sugya. Is it a lachon mishmi sinai? Is it the chum? And he answers the way to resolve it by saying it's a combination. It's both a lachon mishmi sinai and the chum. Halacha mishmi sinai presenting the list of shirim, and then comes on the chum and misvara to try to match them. So that's the Maariv Tzchias, you know, version of the combination.
Is that what the Rikva is trying to say also, just like...
Perhaps. Again, either that combination or the next combination, we'll see. Meaning, I think for sure the Ritva thinks it's a combination, but the exact, you know, breakdown of the combination, that I'm not clear about. It's either Maariv Tzchias version or the next version, as we'll see, presented by a number of other Lachron.
I sort of read the Ritva saying that, like, what he was doing was saying that basically there's the setup of it being, the Joshes tell us that they're just like the Gemara, the Joshes tell us that there is a Shinoi, and then all that, and then the next part, the Sinai element of Serpent, that's like telling us how we apply the Shinoi in both the actual amount and also in like the shear as well, because I think
in the application. You have the Pasuk, which is a Shinoi in Lashon,
and
from the Brisa itself, right, all you have is two things. You have the Shinoi in the Pasuk, in the formulation of the Torah, and the second thing, which is the Chum coming along and based on that. So based on the Brisa itself, you never have a Lachal Mashmi Sinai. So where does the Lachal Mashmi Sinai come in?
I was just saying that like we would probably use that in place of the role that the Chum replaces. And the Joshua tell us that we have the Shinoi, that it's not what we normally think it is.
Okay.
And then the application of, first of all, what actual shear is, and second, how it applies to specific things would be the rift. So you're saying he's giving much more credence to the Washington Sinai. That's like how I read it. It doesn't give a role to like any other position. So like, all that the Josh is doing is what it's doing in the Gemara, which is telling us the Shinoi shear, and then everything else is told in the Alakon Mishra Sinai.
No, but he also says the Chamim or Koveya.
I mean, that's by Josh, isn't it? That's how I read it.
But it's simply, normal drushas don't have that. Normal drushas is a drusha. The idea of, that's why these achronim sound like mustard and kos the chachamim. We don't normally know that when the Brisa brings down a drusha, you don't say, oh, here's a drusha. And by the way, the chachamim came along and,
Well, with the chachamim, the way that I read in the mitzvah was that the chachamim are actually drushing like that. The drusha is the making the chino
chachamim. Okay. I hear. So I thought he was in line with his first approach, that no, he thinks the chachamim are playing a role, and then he adds, oh, there's also the chachamim shvisina here, and I thought he held to some combination, but I'm not sure. I hear. It's a deal. Meaning it's an implication, but it's definitely not explicit. Fine. So Maariv Tzchias' version of the breakdown again is that the Torah, the halacha l'moshe v'sinai, presents the different shiurim, and then the chachamim come along and do the matching game. The other variation, other version, let's say, of this approach, is found in a number of achronim. This is the first day in the Griz, right? The Griz ahead, you see, and just so you know where that photocopy comes from, there's a separate sefer of the Griz on Yuma. And Yuma, I think it's some other, what's I'm forgetting? What? That's right. Rosh Hashanah, Sukkah, and Yuma?
Yeah.
Okay, very good, thank you. So, it's a separate little black sefer, so... If you're looking in the Chiddush HaGriz, it's not there. So it's the Griz, his first day of there. It's also, I didn't have you see this, but it's also the Siach Yitzchak in on Pei Amr Aleph, Dibur Amaschu Umay Shinu, when he's commenting on this Braisa. And it's the Sfas Emes that we saw the other day, and Ayin Tez Amr Aleph. So they all say the following idea, that there's a combination between Halach L'Moshe M'Sinai and the Chamim. But the way they say it is that Halach L'Moshe M'Sinai is doing more than what it's doing according to Maariv Tzchias. It's not just presenting the various shiurim. It's also telling you that, the particular shiur, let's say, by Yom Kippur, is the shiur of Koseves. And that the shiur for normal Maisei Achila is Kezayis. It, right, the Halacha Mashmi Sinai gives you, really, attaches the particular shiur to the particular halacha, but what's mustern, or what's nimsar l'chachamim, is to define the exact parameters of the shiur. Namely, is it koseves, hagasa, or just a koseves, benoni, or is it, or in the case of, Rebbe Lazar, in the sugi, is it a kezayis? Katan is a Ksayas Kadol. So basically, according to these, you know, the Griz, the Siach Yitzchak, and the Sfas Emes, you know, the Halacha Moshe B'Sinai even tells us the particular shear for a particular halacha, but what's nimsa lechachamim is to define the exact parameters of that shear. You know, what type of gezayis is it? What type of kosevis it is? So basically, again, a little different than marschias, but in general, the same type of idea that the way you resolve, you know, the conflicting evidence is by saying that there's really it's a combination between halacha Moshe B'Sinai and the chacham. So far, so good? Okay. But there's one ha'ara on this last, you know, on this last version of the Griz, the Siach Yitzchak, and the Sfas Emes, is that while it seems to work for some of the evidence, it doesn't seem to work for all the evidence. Namely, on Ayin Tes Amud Aleph, let's say for Yehuda, and Ayin Tes Amud for Zvid, and they're talking about, you know, the particular, you know, shir of a Koseva Sagasa, whether that's, you know, Pachos Mekabetza, or, you know, larger than Gebetza, so that works out very nicely. Again, it's the Chamim coming along and defining the exact parameters of the Shir Koseves Hadassah. And also, for, it was pointed out, for Rav Elazar, right? Rav Elazar Shita, that, you know, in your Ochel, Chilav Isman Hazeh, that you should write down how much you ate. Don't just assume that you had a Kazayas because, you know, the Chamim, you know, might come along later and change the Shir Kazayas. So again, that also works out well with this approach, because there you have the chachamim, you know, being monitor the exact, you know, parameters of a particular shir, whether it be kezayas or kosevas hagasa. But what it doesn't seem to work out with is Rebbe, right? Because Rebbe's brisa, when he's invoking the chachamim, so there it seems like the chachamim are changing the shir from kezayas to kosevas hagasa. Right, and so that works out well for the Mar, you know, for the Maritzchias, thinks that the Chamim are the ones who determine, you know, which shear applies to which halacha. But according to these other achronim, this other, you know, version, that, no, really, the halacha Moshe B'Sinai, you know, determines that kosevis applies to Yom Kippur, and all the Chamim are doing is define, you know, how big of the kosevis is, whether it's with the garnisa, without the garnisa, or whether it's kosevis agasa, or whether it's, you know, larger than a kibetza or less than a kibetza, you know. According to these achronim, that's all the chamim are doing. But within Rebbe's brisa on the top of Peyam and Aleph, it seems that the chamim are doing more than just defining, you know, the kosevas agasa. It seems like they're the ones who determine that, you know, the shear for Yom Kippur is kosevas agasa and not kezayas. So that's one sort of small tzarachin. And again, in Lishitaso, the Siach Yitzchak, if you see it inside, basically Lavdavka is this brisa, Lishitaso, to say no. The Chamim are not the ones who are changing it from Kezayas to Kosevas Agasa. Really, you know, the Brisa is talking about, you know, the other issues about how big Kosevas is. Again, Lishitaso, he has to love after the Brisa, but it's just something to note that in terms of, you know, what, you know, the Pashas of at least Rebbe's version of the Chamim is that they're doing more than just defining the exact, you know, parameters of a particular shear, but that they're also, you know, defining which shear applies to a particular halacha. Just a ha'ara. So Adkan is the, you know, the first approach, that the way they resolve, you know, the conflicting evidence is saying there's a combination between the halacha Moshe B'Sinai and the Chamim. So the second, you know, approach is to say in a Chanami there's conflicting evidence. Some Mekoros imply that it's the Shir is Nikva Ayde Chamim. Other evidence, other Shitos imply that the Shir is Nikva Ayde Halacha Moshe B'Sinai. The way you resolve that is by saying in a Chanami there's a Machlokis here. There's a Machlokis Amorayim and Amachokis Tanayim, but whether, you know, Lamaisa, the Shiurim are established by Halacha Moshe B'Sinai, or whether Lamaisa they've been established by the Chacham. So the first Makor, which seems to imply that there's really a Machlokis here, is the Yerushalmi. Right, is the Yerushalmi in Peya Aleph Aleph. This is quoted by, you know, the later Achronim. Basically, the Yerushalmi in Peya basically quotes the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan Ar Gemara, which says Shi'urim be'onshin halacha Moshe B'Sinai, and he also quotes the Shita of Rabbi Elazar. Again, he doesn't. Yerushalmi quotes Rav Hoshaya instead of Rabbi Elazar, but also that same Shita that, you know, when you're ochel chil b'zman hazeh, you should write down exactly how much you ate because you never know if the basin is going to change it later. And the Yerushalmi says that those two Shitas, it's a machalkes. So the Yerushalmi is the first source that says that. I mean, don't try to, you know, conflate those two shitos. Don't try to learn one line or the other by saying it's really a combination between the two. Really, it's a bona fide machlokes. Rav Yochanan is saying it's halacha Moshe Sinai, and Rav Elazar slash Rav Hoshaya are saying no, it's the it's really, you know, the Beis Din. We're really being koveya this year. So again, the Yerushalmi is the first makor to say this idea that really there's a machlokas, a marayim at play. So then later, you know, after the Yerushalmi, you have later Achronim who developed this idea at length. So the first person who says this is the Merom Yisada. Isn't it Tziv? I had you guys see, this is on, again, Pei Amar Aleph. Dira Maschel Amar Yochanan. Again, in the way he learns the sugya, it actually, you know, works out very nicely, that you have a Machlokes Amarayim, which ends up aligning seemingly with a Machlokes Tanai. So you have first Rav Elazar, who says that, you know, Beis Din are Koveya this year. And Rav Elazar seems to align with the Shita of Achirim. Right, the Shita of the Achirim quoted in the Braisa, who say, right, Achirim, oh, we read it yesterday, that Beis Dino Shoyavetz Tiknum, that the Beis Din of Osniel ben Kenaz was Koveya this year for, is Koveya the Shiurim. And that's in contrast to Rav Yochanan, who says, B'lachol Moshe Misinai is what's Koveya the Shiur, and that aligns with the Tanakama. And the Braisa says, Shiurim Shal Onshin, Halacha l'moshe misinai. So again, the Merom Yisada, picking up on this Yerushalmi, says that this ends up being a machlokes amaraim and machlokes tanaim about whether, you know, l'maisa nowadays, you know, the shir is, whether we still have the Mesorah from halacha l'moshe misinai, or whether nowadays, you know, the koveya, right, the koveya is really the chamim, because although, right, as talked in Seder, even the approach which thinks it's the Chachamim admit that originally Shi'urim were based on Halacha Moshe Misinai, but according to Rav Elazar and the Achirim, that Mesorah from the Halacha Moshe Misinai was lost. It's based on Gemara and Tzemura, on Tazayin, which says that after Moshe died, you know, thousands of halachos were lost. So according to these Shitos, you know, the halachos Moshe Misinai regarding Shi'urim were lost as well, and therefore Osniel ben Kenaz and Beis Dino had to come along and, you know, figure out Misvara what the Shi'urim are, and therefore nowadays the Shi'urim that we have are all coming from the Chachamim, and therefore it's subject to change if a Beis Din, which is Gadol B'Minyan U'B'Chachma, comes along later and says, no, we agree, we disagree with their Svara, and they can come along and change the Shi'ur. Therefore you have to write down in terms of Nafkamina for, you know, bringing a Chatas based on how much you eat.
As far as now, we're not able to change the Svara.
What?
Now we're not able to change the Svara.
I mean, you're saying now, like right now? Well, now, yeah, we don't have a Beis Din.
Previously, like 2,000 years ago, when the Beis Din, the Chacham had.
Yeah, if you had a Beis Din, which is called the Chachma of the Minyan, then they could have changed. They could have come along and say, no, it's Nil Ben Kenaz and Beis Dino are wrong. We disagree. Because if that particular Beis Din was called the Chachma of the Minyan. Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
Okay. Fine. And then the Griz, again, this is the second day in the Griz, and this is really the Arichos of the Griz, the approach that he really likes. Again, he also takes his approach of the Ntiv, right, to say that really there's a bona fide machlokes here, right, Rav Yochanan and the Tanakama, who think the halacha, that we still have the Shi'urim come from a Mesora, which is still intact of Halacha Moshe Misinai, while Rav Elazar and the Achirim argue and say that no, really nowadays the Mesorah was lost, and therefore, you know, it's the Chachamim who came along and were Koveir the Shurim. And with that, the Griz is able to explain, you know, two Mekoros which he was bothered by. Number one was the Yerushalmi, right? This is what he starts off with. And remember the context of the Yerushalmi, a little complicated. Exactly. So what did the Yerushalmi say about Chatos Mesos? Exactly. That a later Beis Din, although there seems to be a Halacha Moshe Misinai, that the five chatos, certain types of korbanos chatos, right, have to die, have to be put to death. But the Yerushalmi says, a later Beis Din could come along and, you know, and change that halacha. But the Yerushalmi says they can only change it to what? Exactly, to Yerach Yisdai, which basically means that instead of having them killed, you basically wait for them to get a mum. Once they get a mum, you're pulled to the Kedusha, right? And then, you know, you're pulled to the Kedusha onto money, and then you buy other karbanos with that. But Yerushalmi says, but under no circumstances can a later Beis Din come along and say that, oh, you can even, you know, be makriv these karbanos chatos. So the Griz starts off by saying, like, what's going on? Chatos mesos is halacha Moshe Misinai. So what's the Yerushalmi saying that a Beis Din can come and change that to begin with? and let's say imkvar azkvar. Once you say that you can change it, so why is it limiting? You can only change it, you know, to a certain extent, but not, you know, you can only change it from misa to yirat shiyistayev, but you can't change it to hakrava. So what's going on there? So the Griz, after developing, you know, this yiso, that really is a machokes here about whether, you know, the particular, I mean, that according to certain shitos, namely Rav Elazar and Acherim, that certain halachos in Moshe Mi-Sinai were lost, and there was the chachamim who came along and were, you know, attempted to resuscitate the halachos of Moshe Mi-Sinai, you know, misvara and through, you know, the midosh and Torah Nejashas Behen. So in regards to those dinim which were lost, you know, misora for those dinim were lost, so therefore Beis Din can come along and, you know, and change the halacha. But says the Griz, that the Yerushalmi is saying, is that the while the halacha of Moshe Mi-Sinai in regards to the, you know, chatos and mesos was lost, was only lost partially. So we know, we still remember, right, the mesorah was still intact to the extent to say that these five karbanos chatos cannot be nikra. That we know. So the mesorah in regards to that part of the halacha is still intact. Therefore, no Beis Din can come along later and say, no, you can come along and be makriv these five chatos. But what was lost, that the aspect of that halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai which was lost, was the particular halacha, whether the din was misa or whether the din was yirat shiyistayev. So therefore, the people who were koveya the din of misa was a Beis Din, and therefore you can have a later Beis Din come along and say and change the halacha if they disagree misvara, provided that Beis Din was gadol bechachma ubeminyan. So again, the Griz is saying that the Yerushalmi, that Yerushalmi, in regards to the Chatos HaMesos, is in line with the Shita of Rav Elazar and the Acherim, who think that, you know, certain halachos L'Moshe Mi-Sinai were lost, and therefore it was the Beis Din of the Chacham who tried to resuscitate them. And the other, you know, makor that the Griz tries to explain with this Yisod is the Rambam. Right? It's the famous Rambam who says that whenever it comes to halachos, I think it's the Rambam Hilchos Mamrim, says whenever it comes to halacha l'Moshe Mi-Sinai, you can't argue. There can't be any machlokes when it comes to halacha l'Moshe Mi-Sinai. The obvious question that everyone asks on the Rambam is that you find in Gemaras, in a lot of Gemaras, that there are, in fact, machlokesim in regards to dinim, which seems to come from halacha l'Moshe Mi-Sinai. Case in point, shiurim, right? It's clear that shiurim are halacha l'Moshe Mi-Sinai, but yet you find all over the place. And our sugya and ayin test and pay are, you know, it's a great example of that. That shiurim are subject to machloksim. Is ksavas agasa with the garnisa, without the garnisa, is it larger than a kibetza, is it smaller than a kibetza? So lots of machloksim in regards to shiurim, even though shiurim seems to be halacha l'Moshe Mi-Sinai. So the Griz says, the Rambam seems to paskin, like Rav Elazar and Acherim, to say that certain halachos of l'Moshe Mi-Sinai were lost, and therefore, when it comes to those halachos Moshe Mi-Sinai, it's the Beis Din, it's the Chacham who came along to attempt to resuscitate those halachos through pilpul, through svara, through midos Torah and nidreshes behem. So therefore, wherever you find machloksim in regards to dinim which is supposed to be halachos Moshe Mi-Sinai, that means that those particular halachos, the mesora associated with those halachos Moshe Mi-Sinai, were lost, and therefore, and it was the Chachamim who attempted to resuscitate them, and therefore you can have a machlokes in terms of those particular halachos of the Moshe Mi-Sinai. Yeah.
So then, Shinu Chachamim B'Shiuran would mean that we lost it and then the Chachamim came back and established it?
That's what it seemed like. Yeah, exactly. So one ha'ara to be made, right, according to, I guess, the Yerushalmi, the Merom Yisada, and the Griz, to say that whenever you find particular memra, which is invoking the Chachamim, that's right, a machlokes with halacha l'Moshe Mi-Sinai, right? That's the Shita which thinks that the current particular halacha was nikva alayde the Chachamim and not the halacha l'Moshe Mi-Sinai, right? In contrast to, you know, other Shitas which think that no, all these things are halacha l'Moshe Mi-Sinai, which is important to note that when you go back to our sugyas, Ayin Tesim Aleph, Ayin Tesim Beis, wherever the notion of Yisuvei Daite is quoted, right, both on Ayin Tesim Aleph and Ayin Tesim Beis and Peyon Beis, if you look carefully, whenever the Gemara cites the concept of Yisuvei Daite, it's always Kim Lehu L'Rabbana. And if you cheshbon it out, according to the Griz and the Merom Yisada, that's only within a particular Shita. That's only within the Shita of Rav Elazar and Acherim, who hold of this idea of Yisuvei Daite. But if you cheshmen it out, what it comes out is that, let's say, the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan and the Tanakhama, so it could be that according to, you know, the analysis of Marome Sada and the Gris, that you have other Shitos in Amaram and Tanaim who never necessarily hold of the concept of Yusufi Taite. And according to Rabbi Yochanan and the Tanakhama, you think that everything's Halacha Moshe B'Sinai, so they do not hold of this concept of Kimluhu L'Rabbanan Yusufi Taite. So it's just important to note that there could be Shitos out there, namely Rabbi Yochanan and the Tanakhama, who completely reject the notion of Yisuvei Daita. Up until now, we've been assuming, yeah, Yisuvei Daita is Muslim, Muskim Lakal. Right? It seems to be Stam Gemaras, which mention the notion of Yisuvei Daita. But according to this, you know, analysis of both the Netziv and the Griz, that all those Gemaras, whenever those Gemaras mention Yisuvei Daita, they always associate it with Kimhu L'Rabbanan. And according to the Netziv and the Griz, that's only within a particular Shita, which hold that, you know, the Shir of Inu Eshel Achila by Yom Kippur has been, you know, dictated or been nikva al yedei the Chama. But that leaves other Shitos, namely the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan and the Shita of the Tanakhama and Peyam and Aleph, who think that no, all Shi'urim are based on Halachal Moshe Mi'Sinai. And therefore they would seemingly say that the Shir of Koseva Sagasa in the Mishnah is simply Halachal Moshe Mi'Sinai. And it could be that, just to now tie it to the larger analysis, it could be that those Rabbi Yochanan and the Tanakhama, who say that it's just, you know, Halacha Moshe Mi'Sinai of an adjusted shear, but they never have this notion of Yisuvei Daita, so it could be that they are going to align with approach number one. Right? That approach number one, that the Koveya for Inoy Shel Achila is a Maisa Achila, because they never hold of Yisuvei Daita. You never find Yisuvei Daita being mentioned in the context of Halacha Moshe Mi'Sinai, you only find it mentioned in the context of the Chachamim. So it could be that right, those Shitos who reject the Chachamim will thereby potentially reject Yisuvei Daita and think that Yisuvei Daita plays no role when it comes to Inoy Shel Achila Yom Kippur. And therefore it could be that, you know, the Rabbi Yochanan and Tanakhama are, you know, bona fide approach number one people to say that Yisuvei Daita Imam Dekar Shemei, you never have such a thing, and therefore Inoy Shel Achila must be a classical Maisa Achila, albeit with an adjusted shear due to the Halacha L'Moshe Mi'Sinai. So just, although this sugya, you know, whether the shir is koveh by Halacha Moshe Mi'Sinai or the Chachamim, it seems like, you know, irrelevant, you know, to the larger discussion of Inoy Shel Achila, but if you make this cheshbon, really there seems to be a connection.
Yeah. When the Friskyot is explaining the Rambam, so is he redefining what he means that it's not Halacha Moshe Mi'Sinai? Because the Rambam says, if there's a machlok, it's not Halacha Moshe Mi'Sinai. So he's saying that when the Rambam says it's not Halacha Moshe Mi'Sinai, means it's not a 100%.
We're currently Halacha Moshe Mi'Sinai. I mean, it's not something that we know from the Halacha Moshe Mi'Sinai.
It still comes from...
I mean, originally, meaning what he's saying is when the Rambam says, oh, when you have a Halacha, you know, which, or the source of Halacha, which is Halacha Moshe Mi'Sinai, then there can't be a machlokes. So the Griz is saying, that doesn't mean that something which was once Halacha Moshe Mi'Sinai, because, you know, there are examples of halachos which were once halachos Moshe Mi'Sinai, which were then lost, and therefore can be subject to machlokes. What Rambam is saying is that if there's a particular halacha, which you know because of halachos Moshe Mi'Sinai, because of the Mesorah dating back to Moshe, so then there can't be any machlokes regarding that. Here?
No, entirely. I do get the point.
What?
I think you get the point.
Just one more time then? It's according to the Griz, when the Rambam says that there can't be any machlokes when it comes to Halacha Moshe Mi'Sinai, so while most people interpret that as saying that whenever there was Halacha Moshe Mi'Sinai, there can never be a machlokes in future generations regarding Halacha Moshe Mi'Sinai, so the Greek is saying, no, that's not what the Rambam means to say. The Rambam means to say is that if there's a particular halacha which we know because of Halacha Moshe Mi'Sinai, meaning we still, the Mesorah is still intact, and we know this particular halacha from the Mesorah of Halacha Moshe Mi'Sinai, then you can't have any machlokes regarding that. But, says the Griz, Rambam is not discussing certain halachos L'Moshe Mi'Sinai which were lost. And there are certain halachos L'Moshe Mi'Sinai which were lost, and in regards to those halachos L'Moshe Mi'Sinai, because the Mesorah was lost, therefore, you know, we only know them nowadays due to the Chachamim, and therefore once the Chachamim are really the Makor, you know, nowadays, therefore that can be subject to machlokes. A little clear? Okay. So Adkan is our discussion of Shir Achila for Inoy on Yom Kippur. So now I'd like to transition to our second, you know, called impacted issue, which is the shear of shtir, which has its own set of machlokzeh. And we're going to that, you know, which is interesting. Then in contrast to the shear of achila, which is, it's in the Mishnah, and there basically isn't any machlokzeh, right? Kokosavas agasa, you never find any other shiurim. When it comes to the shear of shtia, or the inoy shel shtia, there you find a whole range of opinions in the Tanaim in terms of what exactly the shir shtia is. And it's important to, you know, take a step back and try to analyze, you know, from the particular, you know, from the different shitos, whether those, the different shiurim and the different shitos, you know, imply, you know, have any, you know, conceptual implications in terms of our, you know, a broader discussion in terms of the nature of Eve. So without further ado, let's see the Mishnah and the Braisa. Does anyone want to read? No. Philip, do you mind reading for us? So starting with the Mishnah, and I give him a base. Exactly. So the Mishnah is very clear that what's the shear of shtia?
Mlo lugmav.
Exactly. So now moving to Pei Amud Aleph.
So shos mlo lugmav amirav Yehuda mishmo.
So what does mlo lugmav literally mean?
Chikva.
Exactly. So, and we're going to say milo lugmav literally means both cheeks are full. Your entire mouth is full.
So Rabbi Yehuda says in the Mishmol, lo amar lo male lugmav ma'amish, elo kol she'ilu yisal kenu letzad echad vir kamaloi lugmav. Right? If you just put the water all to one cheek.
Exactly. And, is one cheek full, not a full mouth full.
V'hanan t'nan male lugmav. We said actually the whole, both your cheeks full. Right, that's what the Mishnah says. No, imaku mloy lugmav. Say it's as if it's mloy lugmav, exactly. But it's only one side. Vesve kami yishta v'yechayev v'shamay oimrim v'yes v'solamim lugmav. So we bring down a verse that says how much do you need to drink? V'yechayev v'shamay says that just for v'yes and v'sol says mloy lugmav. Rabbi Yehuda amar mishmer belaza kimloy lugmav and Rabbi Yehuda ben Basira amar kadei gmiya. So we see from here that the fact that Rabbi Yehuda brings down from Rabbi Lazar, Kimloy Lugmav, shows that when Rabbi Hillel says Mloy Lugmav, it can't be Kimloy Lugmav, it has to be Mloy Lugmav Mamish. So
the Gemara didn't understand that was the Raya. The Gemara says, what do you mean? You're just bringing Raya from Lush and Mloy Lugmav? The Gemara says, Mia Difa
Masnis and Dokumi Kide Shira. Right? Hanami Kide Shira? Yahi Hanu.
No, Kide Shira. Meaning, what's your right? I mean, we lopped off the, if we're willing to lopped off the Mishnah, we'll lopped off the price. So what's the big deal? Says, no, really, what's the right? Is the following.
Yahi Hanu Rabbi Lazar. What's the difference between Rabbi Lazar and Beis Hillel?
So that's the right that Beis Hillel, like whom we generally paskin, is really Melo Lugma of Bamish.
Say, Ekabinayu Melo Lugma of Dachuk. Right.
Meaning what? That, really, both base hillos also kimelo lugmav.
Right. Whether if it's like base hill holds like has to be like a lot, and the velocity just says like only a little bit on one side of the
exactly. Cheekful. And different levels of, you know, kimelo lugmav. You know, a cheekful. Right. You know, it could be berevach or bedachot. Hard to know exactly what those measurements are. Either like, you know, really, you know, full or mostly full. You know, different levels. Okay, so just do one more line.
If you're going to say this, then Bisham is more mekel because he holds that you, what's it called? Bisham holds you just need to have a revius, and Bisol says you need to have like
even
Mloy Lugmav, right?
Even Kimloy
Lugmav.
Which is smaller
than a revius, and therefore what's called Bisol is going to say you can be chayv
for less.
Shtia on Yom Kippur for less.
Yeah, but it's very important, just as clear from the Shavuot Torah. The Rishonim point this out is that, like the ihachi, the inkain implies that while a melo lugma of mamish is larger than a revius, and that's why in the Havamina we had no problem with Beis Hillel being machmir because he wasn't machmir. Because if you think that Beis Hillel is melo lugma of mamish, then that's larger than a revius. But lamaskana that kimelo that Beis Hillel holds a kimelo lugma, it's clear from the Gemara that kimelo lugma is smaller than a revius. So just keep that in mind because that's going to be important. All right, the relationship between revius, which is the shir shtia b'chol Torah kula, is going to be important to analyze the relationship between that and kimlo lugma, which is the shir of yisubi dekta.
So the answer, amalei, kiyas shal ba'oig mal chavashan isha. When we ask the question based on Medrash, we're talking about oig mal chavashan, and his cheekful is so big, that's more than revius.
Therefore, regards
to, Beis Hillel is really more
will be more
meikol, and Bisham is more mach.
And the habu b'sham, I look at
Right,
in that case, so one last question because it's very important. Gemara is now going to you know, reflect on, you know, the nature of the shir kamala ligmav.
Right. So maskalar zera meishna achila the whole chad v'chad because everyone has the set shir. Meishna shir the whole chad v'chad b'didei. It's totally on the person.
Yeah, it's relevant. It's subjective.
Yeah. So amalei baye kamala rabbanu because sabas to b'hachi misvedaita b'atzim mehachi lo misvedaita. But lo misval by achila it's dependent in. It has to be Yisubi Daitse, and only the Shir B'Kosefes will be Yisubi Daitse.
For everybody.
Right, by everyone. B'shtiyo B'didei Misu Daitse, B'chaveri Loi Misu Daitse. By everyone, it's subjective, how much person needs to drink to be satisfied.
Exactly. So, which is an interesting, you know, contrast, and we'll get to this later on one of the later topics we're going to have is in terms of relationship between Achila and Shtiyo, and the question is whether this Chilak, you know, implies there's any fundamental distinction between them. But at face value, it's just saying, well, they're both based on Yisubei Daitei, and there's that technical, you know, difference that when it comes to the Yisubei Daitei of Achila, it's, you know, the same applies to everybody. Koseva Sagasa is Niyasev, everybody's, you know, for everybody. When it comes to Shtiyah, you know, it's relative, you know, a bigger person requires more Shtiyah in order for him to be Niyasev Daitei. Fine. So now it's just important to go through each sheet separately and try to figure out, you know, try to derive from the particular shear, you know, if we can tell from the particular shear, you know, their particular approach to, you know, the nature of Inoue Shel Shtiyah. So let's try to do this one by one, pretty quickly. So the first shita we'll discuss is the shita of Beis Shammai. So what's Beis Shammai shita?
Revius.
Right? So as we've seen, Revius, you know, what does Revius tell us? What is Revius' shir? Exactly. So Revius is the shir of a Maisa Shtiya B'chol Torah Kula. So it's fascinating, according to Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai seems to think that the shir of Inoue Shel Shtiyah is based on the geder of a Maisa Shtiyah. So as you can tell, that's very important. So you can say it in two options here. So either you're going to say that Beis Shammai holds of approach number one. All right, it's clear that Beis Shammai holds like approach number one, that the geder of Inoue Shel Shtiyah, believe it that, the geder of Inoue Shel Shtiyah is a Maisa Shtiyah. And therefore he says, what's the best, you know, what's the best shear? Revius. That's the shear for a Maisa Shtiyah B'chol Torah Kula. But it's also possible that he holds of which version of approach number two? 2B. Right, 2B that requires both Yisuvei Daite and Maisa Shtiyah, because if, just as we noted before, Revius is larger than the Shir Kamala Lugmav. So it's also possible that Beis Shammai holds, like 2B, you need both a Maisa Shtiyah and Yisuvei Daite, but because you need both, you need the larger of the two Shirim. But if he holds that Kamala Lugmav is a Shir Yisuvei Daite, and Revius is a shear for Maisa Shtiyah, therefore he opts for Maisa Shtiyah, which accomplishes both. So again, what's clear for Beis Shammai is that the shear of Revius reflects that he holds, that he requires a Maisa Shtiyah. But again, what is not clear 100% is whether it's Maisa Shtiyah alone, approach number one, or whether it's Maisa Shtiyah in conjunction with Yisuvei Daitei, approach number 2B. Again, as you see, going through each shear, what seems like technical, that is like giving random shearim. If you think about it, each shear, you know, the implication of each shear, you know, there's important lambdas to be derived, to be gleaned from each of these shitas. Yeah.
Beis Shammai doesn't really fit into that question on only base, that's totally on each person. Like the shear shtiyah, he's saying that's a set thing?
Correct, well, because
is that only going in Beis Hillel, or is it?
You know, that is going within, yeah, for sure it's going in within Beis Hillel. Come on, yeah. That's for sure. Fine. Okay, so Adkan is the Shita of Beis Shammai. That's a Shir Revius, which again is very important because it implies that for Beis Shammai, he needs a Maisa Shtiyah. Clearly either approach number one or approach number 2B, but again, clearly not 2A, that it's all based on Yisubei Daitei and that we don't care about a Maisa Shtiyah. Fine. So the second Shita we're going to discuss is the most difficult one, is Rav Yehuda ben Beseir. Kidei Gemiyah. Do you guys even know what that is? I didn't at the time. Yeah. It's the amount that you can swallow babas achas. So I have to be honest, I had no clue where else, right? Just methodologically, Derek Lehman point. Whenever you see, you know, these types of shirim, the best way to figure out what the implications of a particular shir is to figure out where else do you find it. Like by Revius, right, the fact that, you know, you have the fact that Ravi is the Shiva Kol Torah Kula is indicative. The question is, where else do you find Kedei Gemiya?
Isn't Sima to the Beitza by Achila? One of the opinions of the Gemara is that quite in Beitza is because of how much you can.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So I think it's the equivalent of liquids.
Yeah, that's true. But the question is, where, in which, what halacha do you find? Yeah, what got that?
The sheer tumor.
Oh, in terms of like, timing, though?
No, the swallow neck, yeah. That's the sheer stira, yeah.
The sheer stira.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like a timing.
What?
I mean, the timing
of
stira.
Yeah.
That's a little different in terms of the sheer.
That's for hara.
What?
Hara.
Uh-huh. Okay. So that will not really shed so much light on ours, because how do you connect that? That'd be very creative if you could. But the one place that I saw, honestly, I did a Bar-Ilan search on this one, is I found a Mishnah in Shabbos, actually in terms of Hotzah. Right? So again, we're not going to deal with this so much, but basically, when it comes to the Shir of Hotzah, the Mishnah there in Ayin Vav Amud Beis, in Masechah Shabbos, Ayin Vav Amud Beis, the Mishnah there, says the minimum Shir of Hotzah for Challah, for a classical liquid, is Kedei Gemiya. And just something to note, two things to note. Number one to note is that the Shir Gemiya, the Mefarshim point out, is smaller than Kamlo Lugmov, which is very important. So if we understand that Kamlo Lugmov is the Shir Yisuvei Daite, it's clear that this is less than that. Number one. This is a number of Mefarshim, but number one, one example of this is the Tosos Yontif, you know, that's the Mishnayos, Tosos Yontif in Shabbos, Perek Ches, Mishnah Aleph, again, points out that Kedei Gemiya is smaller than Kamlo Lugmov, which is important, point number one. Point number two is if you're trying to assess, you know, the fact that this is also the shear for Hotzah, it's important to note that in general, the shear for Hotzah, again, on Shabbos, you know, how much of a particular item do you have to be mulzi from Rishus to Rishus to be chayiv, to be over the malach of Hotzah. So generally, shiurim of Hotzah are based on the like the minimum significant usage of an item. So if you bring the, you know, whatever, you know, the particular shear is that, so Kedei Gemiya would be the minimum significant usage of chalav, of a particular halav. Basically to say that, you know, the minimum significant usage of, you know, of chalav is the amount that you can, you know, drink b'masachas. Right? That's a fact that, you know, that fills up your throat, that's significant, and that's the minimum significant usage. So again, it's going to take some work in terms of now to try to carry that over and try to figure out, so how does Kedei Gemiya shed light on the nature of Inui Sel Shtiyah? I don't want to get too bogged down on that. There's something to be said about this, but we're going to hold off. But something to think about how to derive from, you know, from the fact that Kedei Gemiya is the Shir for Otsah, and the Shir Otsah is the minimum significant usage of the item, try to figure out how that connects to here. But we're going to skip that part for now, just want to make sure. If we have time, we'll come back to that. Okay, so far we did, you know, the shear of Revius of Beis Shammai and the shear of Kedei Gemiya of Yehuda ben Seira. And now let's get to the last two more normative shitas. So third shita is Milo Lugma Mamish. Right, so again, this is the Pash Pshat in the Mishnah, Ayin Gimel on Beis, right, where it says, V'hashosa Milo Lugma of Chayiv. And again, the Pash Pshat in Beis Hillel and the Brayas, which says Milo Lugma of Mamish. Question is, okay, those are prices, but the Gemara seems to reject that interpretation. So is there anybody who, you know, resuscitates the Pashut understanding of these, of this price of Beis Hillel and the Mishnah? Any Rishon that I had you guys see? The Meiri, right? So the Meiri says that basically while Shmuel tries to ladavka the Mishnah and the price, he thinks Shmuel's rejected Lamaskana. Right? He says the way he reads the Gemara is as follows. Shmuel has a pshat that, oh, read the Mishnah as Kamlo Lugmov. And the Gemara, the Bam Kasha from the Braisa. And although the Gemara gives an answer for Shmuel, Miri thinks that answer is Dachuk. And therefore, you know, he thinks that Lamaskana, you know, the basic understanding of both Beis Hillel in the Braisa and of the Mishnah is really Milo Lugmov Mamish. Now, so therefore, according to the Miri, Milo Lugmov Mamish is an actual Shita. Shita in Tanai. The question is, how do you assess? What's the significance of Milo Lugmov? So the Meiri tells you. Meiri thinks that Milo Lugmov is also a shear in Yisuvei Daite. Right, he has a line there. He says, all right, after, you know, developing that, you know, really Mlo Ligmav is, you know, isn't the Shir L'maskana according to the Mishnah and for Beis Hillel. He says, V'ze'u mishuar kol adam b'shalo. Again, it's subjective to each person. She'ein daito misyashiv ela b'mlo Ligmav shal atzma. Again, he's carrying over the Gemara, the Gemara's discussion on Peyam Abeis by Kimlo Ligmav to Mlo Ligmav also. So it's interesting. So according to the Me'iri, the only person who has the Shita, that his understanding of the Shita Melo Ligma Mamish, that also is a shear in Yisuvei Daite. So what comes out, according to the Me'iri, is that this machlokas between Melo Ligmav of the Mishnah and Beis Hillel versus the Shitas of Kimlo Ligmav of Shmuel and Rav Elazar, it seems to be machlokas in the shear of Yisuvei Daite. As we were discussing yesterday, again, not a machlokas in Metzius, but what fills you up, but rather, and there's always a range of, satiation. And the question is, there's a halachic machlokas in terms of, where do you draw the line in terms of what is halachic, what is considered halachic satiation for the din of Yom Kippur. That's just important to know. So again, we had Revius, which is clearly a din in Ma'aseh Shtiya. We then had Kedei Gemiya, which is a unique shear, similarly related somehow to the shear of Hotzah. Then we had the third shita of Melo Ligmav Mamish, which according to the Me'iri is also a shear in Yisuvei Daite. And now we have the normative, the shita of Kimlo Ligmav. Right? Kimlo Ligmav, that it's not the entire mouthful, but it's rather only one cheekful. So again, as we read, this is Shmuel's understanding of the Mishnah. Right, when the Mishnah says Melo Ligmav, really it means Kimlo Ligmav, that's what's going on in the Mishnah. It's important to note that Tosos says that just like, right, Tosos on the spot, through Maslo Hachanami, says not only do you have this Lav Dafka, reference, not only do we Lav Dafka the Melo Ligmav in the context of Yom Kippur to mean Kimlo Ligmav, where else does Tosos say where, the shear of Melo Ligmav is mentioned, but Tosa says there too, we Lav Dafka it to mean Kimlo Ligmav. By Kiddush, right? The Gemara in Erevin says the shear ti'ima, right, the amount that you have to drink for Kiddush, is the shear of Melo Ligmav. And Tosa says, just like Shmuel, Lav Dafka is the shear, the phrase Melo Ligmav here, so too will Lav Dafka, the phrase Melo Ligmav there, to really mean Kimlo Ligmav. So again, one raya he has in Cheshbon that, it must be that, the shear of Te'ima must be smaller than Revius because of the Dalakosos. That's one Cheshbon. But a second raya that he brings, which I think is interesting, is that he says, at the end, he says that it doesn't make sense to have a shear of Melo Ligmav. Because Melo Ligmav is subjective to each person, depending on how big your mouth is. But Tosa says that it doesn't make sense to have a subjective shear if not for the fact that the shear relates to Yisuvei Daite. Right, he says, Bishlama, if the shear is Kimlo Lugmav. So then it makes sense to say that the shear is subjective because the shear of Kimlo Lugmav is the shear of Yisuvei Daite. And as the Gemara says, the shear Yisuvei Daite for different people is different. But says Tosos, why in the world would you have a shear of Kimlo Lugmav? That's a shear which is relative, but or Tosos assumes, the shear Melo Ligmav has nothing to do with the Yisuvei Daite. So why in the world would you ever have a shear which is subjective, which is relative to different people, if it doesn't relate to Yisuvei Daite? Let's just read that inside. It seems like a bunch of faces.
I always say Melo Ligmav doesn't relate to Yisuvei Daite. What
did you say? I always say Melo Ligmav doesn't relate. So it comes out that Tosos implicitly disagrees with the Me'iri. Right, the Me'iri said, Melo Ligmav can also be a shear in Yisuvei Daite. And he said, and the Me'iri thinks that Hagufa can be the machlokas. How do you understand what is the shear of Yisuvei Daite? Again, right, we had that between, Rav Yehuda and Rav Zvid, and Ayin Tassim and Aleph is Ayin Tassim and Vav. So the Me'iri says you can have that in the Sugya too, that Hagufa is a machlokas between Melo Ligmav and Kimlo Ligmav. But Tosos implicitly rejects that and says, no, the Gemara on Pei Amud Beis only associates Yisuvei Daite with the shear of Kimlo Ligmav. Therefore, says Tosos, Melo Ligmav is nothing to do with Yisuvei Daite. And therefore, he says, the shear doesn't make any sense. Because shear are normally objective, right? What's the shear meaning? I'd say by Ma'aseh Shtiya, it's objective shear. Hotzah, the minimum significant usage, that's objective. Why in the world would you ever have a shear which is relative to the person? So Tosos says, Bishlama, if it's a unique shear based on Yisuvei Daite, okay, because Yisuvei Daite can be subjective, can be relative. But if Milolugmav is not related to Yusubedaiti, then the shir doesn't make any sense, and therefore, wherever you find it, it must be Ladavka. It must be referring to Milolugmav. That make sense? Well, let's just read it inside, just to get a sense. See, Tosos Hachanami. See, like, the Ud, like, I would say, like, seven lines up from the end of Tosos. You can see, man. See, the Ud Isokotaita. Three lines after parentheses Psachim, Chesna Reis.
The Ud Isokotaita, my little book. You think it's not when Cain have its fame,
Right, so he spells out exactly like we just said. What he's saying is that it's clear that Kimelo Lugmav is a shir Yisubedaita. So therefore, Milo Lugmav just doesn't make sense as a shir because it's relative to people, and it doesn't make sense to have a relative shir unless it's based on Yisubedaita, which Milo Lugmav is not. So that's just an important, ends up coming out between, you know, Tosos and the Meiri in terms of whether, you know, they're willing to view Milo Lugmav as an alternative shir in Yisubedaita. And the Meiri is willing to say that you have a machokis and what the shir Milo shir Yisubedaita is, what Tosos is not. Okay, let's just finish up here. So you have, so not only do you have Shmuel B'Shem the Mishnah, you also have, right, who's right, adapting the Shir of Kamal Lugmav. You also have, right, Rav Elazar, right? Rav Elazar Shita is explicitly, right, he's the only one who explicitly says Kamal Lugmav in the Braisa, so Rav Elazar. And then you have, right, Beis Hillel, according to the Gemara, right? According to the Gemara, based on Shmuel, they say, oh, Beis Hillel really agrees with Rav Elazar that's Kamal Lugmav, and the only difference between them is whether it's the Kamal Lugmav, which is, you know, Dachuk, or Kamal Lugmav B'Rebach.
Wait, what's the difference? The Kamal of Dachuk?
Yeah, just in terms of, you know, how much do you have to fill up your one sheet for? Is it like, really, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't know exactly how to assess that. But again, different, you know, different shirim of Kamal Lugmav. Which is important to note in light of what we just discussed in terms of the Meiri and Tosfos, is that given that the Gemara clearly goes on to say that Kimelo Lugmav is a shir in Yisubedaita, so you plug that in. So if you, right, it's clear the Gemara in Pevim Beis that Kimelo Lugmav is a shir in Yisubedaita, and it's clear from this Gemara that the machlokes between Rav Elazar and Beis Hillel is the shir of Kimelo Lugmav. So it comes out of the Gemara that their machlokes is a machlokes in Yisubedaita. Right. If Kamal Lugmav is a shir in Yisubedaita, and they're having machlokas about what the shir of Kamal Lugmav is, so you clearly see from the Gemara that there, right, you have
is a, even according to Tosfos.
So what?
Is even according to Tosfos?
So this is interesting to know that Tosfos has to agree to this. So it's just interesting that, like, meaning the Meir is going to say, look, I mean, you see in the Gemara that there is a machlokas about the shir of Yisubedaita. So the Meir will tell you. So I'll tell you that. There's another machlokes. Not only is a machlokes whether Yisubedaita is these two different versions of Kimelo Lugmav, there's also machlokes, there's a third side of machlokes to say that the Milo Lugmav is a shir Yisubedaita. So it's just strange that Tosfos is saying that no. Only the different variations within Kimelo Lugmav could be shir Yisubedaita, but there's no way that Milo Lugmav is a shir Yisubedaita. It's like it's hard to know why Tosos takes it as a Dabar Pashut. You know, once you see from the Gemara that there could be a machlokas within, you know, the Shir of Yisubedaita, hard to know why Tosos is not willing to say that that could also be pshat in the Shir of Milo Lugmav to give it significance. Fine. So just important now to analyze this, right? So within, right, this last normative Shita, that the Shir is Kimelo Lugmav, and that it's clear that the Shir of Kimelo Lugmav is based on Yisubedaita. So now we have to figure out how this, you know, fits into the broad, the broad different approaches that we've been discussing, right? So one simple idea is to say that look, the fact that right the shir of Inoy Shel Shtia is based on Yisubedaita, let's go through different approaches. According to approach number one, right, who thinks that the Inuyim of Achila and Shtia are based on, you know, Maisa Achila and Maisa Shtia. So the way approach number one is going to have to understand this normative shita of Kamal Lugmav is like we said before. It's to say that really, you know, the geder of Inuy Shel Shtia is a Maisa Shtia, But we adjust, we have a quantitative adjustment of the shear to account for the factor of Yisuvei Daite. So again, not that Yisuvei Daite completely redefines, you know, the nature of the din. Really, the nature of the din is a Maisa Shtia, but we adjust it for Yisuvei Daite. The only problem with this, just only one more minute, just to make sure we finish. Only problem with this, as the Emek Bracha in Os Beis points out, is that here, right, that's easy to say by Koseves, where the shear of Yisuvei Daite is larger than the shear of a Maisa Achila. So you can say, Maisa Achila is a Kesavis, but we quantitatively adjust it and bump it up to a shear Koseves to also account for, you know, this factor of Yisuvei Daite. But it's harder to say that, says the Emek Bracha, when it comes to, you know, the Inuei Shel Shtia, the shear of Kamala Lugmav, which is smaller than a Revius. Because if you think that the Geder of a Maisa Shtia B'chol Torah Kula is a Revius, then how can you say that really the shear here is Kamala Lugmav, but really it's a Maisa Shtia which is adjusted? If your shear is Kamala Lugmav, which is smaller than a Maisa Shtia, smaller than a Revius, then you're sort of lacking your Maisa Shtia. So the Emek Bracha really rejects, you know, the first approach altogether. But you're going to have to say that since there are certain Rishonim, clearly that's approach number one, the huge chiddush is that Yisuvei Daite can, you know, can adjust the that you can have a Maisa Shtia, you know, you can have like different types of Maisa Shtia. That you can have a Maisa Shtia in the realm of Inuei Shel Shtia, which is smaller than the classical shear, which is adjusted based on Yisuvei Daite, but yet has the status of a Maisa Shtia, even though Maisa Shtia normally requires more. That's a big chiddush. But the easier way to say it is to say that, like, approach, you know, 2A, is that, you know, the shear of Yisuvei Daite, which is, you know, less than a Maisa Shtia, proves that there is no role of Maisa Shtia at all. Again, this is approach 2A, that the Koveya for Inuei Shel Achila and Shtia is completely Yisuvei Daite. And therefore, as long as you have Yisuvei Daite, in this context of Shtia, as long as you have Kamala Lugmav, and you have your Yisuvei Daite, that's all you need. And the fact that you don't have a Maisa Shtia, you don't have a Shir Revius, it doesn't matter, because approach number 2A basically says that the whole Koveya is Yisuvei Daite. But basically, for both approach 2B and approach number 1, which think that there is a Maisa Shtia at play here, it's very difficult to understand in the realm of Shtia, of how you have a Maisa Shtia, even though you don't have, even though Kamala Lugmav is a Shir, and that's less than a Revius. Okay, we'll stop here, and because we're Minchas right now, I'll take any questions on the way.